The girl, this was back in 2010. She died 3 years later in 2013 from cancer. But she went on to tell what the gist of it is, you know, she said she had physical cancer, but the spiritual cancer was worse. And that's what she was trying to say. That's the point that she got across. She ended up living her life and living the rest of her life out, just praising God and giving him thanks. Even though she had cancer the rest, even though she died, she knew that she was right. And that's the thing right there, that the grace of God is so good. He can bring you from anything. He can lift you up from anything. And for anybody to think that we don't serve a God like that and can't understand that, if you're dealing with that in your life, I don't know anybody. I don't know people on the car. I don't know your lives. I don't know your hearts. But if you even know somebody like that, he can lift you out of anything, and don't let anybody tell you that he can't. That's the kind of God that we serve. I just thought, I listened to that testimony. I've been listening to it, and I thought, man, that girl just, you could see how confused she was in her life at first and how everything was going on like that. But then how that God come to her. She didn't need to come to the altar. She did it right where she was at because she said a heartfelt prayer. That's all God wants us to do, is to be so broken that we say a heartfelt prayer, and he will come into our lives and save us. I am just so thankful for that. I praise God for that. Over Mark 14:21, if you'd like to stand, let's read God's word together. I know we haven't done that for a while, and I know it's it says this in Mark 14:21. It tells us this: "Woe to you, to that man by whom the Son of God is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to thank you, Lord. Father, I want to thank you for the mercy. I want to thank you, Father, for the scripture that you've given us, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, for the opportunity to gather here this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for all that you have given us, Lord. Thank you for the ones out in the cars here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, for those that will be listening to this, Lord, in the future. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to be with these people, Lord. Open their hearts and minds and give you the praise for the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Thank you. I read part of that verse with you. The Son of Man, I just read the last part of it, by the way. Sorry about that. I should have told you that. Me and Mark was talking as we were coming in church there this morning. About 2 months ago, if I had seen any of you coming in with the mask, we'd have probably been jumping underneath the pews. But, you know, thank you for the mask this morning. I really appreciate it. I know that things are hot. They're everything that you think that they are. I understand that. Anybody that's ever worked in a chemical plant can tell you that these things are almost part of everyday life up there. And the way we even have to do a physical with these things on sometimes, the big full face ones. So anybody that's ever have to dealt with them, I know exactly what you're going through. Let me make it very personal and very pointed to everyone here this morning. As I was getting ready for this, as the Lord showed me this sermon down through the week, if you do not repent of your sins, if you do not deny yourself, if you do not take up your cross and follow Jesus, if you do not become a follower of Jesus Christ, it would have been better for you that you would have never been born, just like Judas. It would have been better for you that you would have never, ever set foot on this planet if you would die and go out of this world without knowing Jesus. You say, well, preacher, that sounds kind of harsh and mean. Listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you this morning the absolute truth of this. If you do not accept Jesus Christ into your heart, if you die and face an eternity in hell, it would have been better for you that you would have never, ever had set foot on this planet. Because once you die, you will face the judgment. You will be damned, and you will be consigned to hell forever. It is not something where you just burn up, where you just go for a little bit. That's not what it's about. You are there forever and ever. Whenever in eternity, I want you to know this. You know, if you do not believe upon Jesus, if you do not run to the arms of grace, When you have the opportunity, if you do not confess your sins and receive from Him the forgiveness of your sins, Jesus says it would be better for you not to have been born either, because of what awaits you on the other side of death that is so awful, that is so repulsive, that is so terrifying. Listen, the Bible talks about hell, and I'm telling you, I cannot do it justice. I have tried to preach about it. But no matter how much I try to preach about it, no matter who you hear preaching about it, can I tell you this morning that we cannot do hell justice, just like we cannot do heaven justice. It would have been better if God had never made you than you to live and betray the Son of God. All of us here in this room today, all those sitting out in the vehicles out there, all those who may hear this sermon somewhere down the road, at some point in your lives, you have heard the gospel. You've heard the word of God in your life at some time. The knowledge of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've had access to Him and to His word, and not do some soul searching, at least to do some soul searching, and you need to repent of your sins. Hebrews 10:25 through 30 tells us this. It tells us very frankly what will happen to that person who rejects the gospel. It says this in Hebrews 10:25 through 30. It says this: if we deliberately keep sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, listen, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment, of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy, it said, because on the testimony of two or three witnesses, you had to have two or three witnesses, and if those two or three witnesses were against you, you died without mercy. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated the whole unholy things, the blood of the covenant, and sanctified them, who has insulted the Spirit of grace? When you overstep and you do not, if you do not accept the love and the mercy that Jesus has given you, what is it telling you? You have insulted the Spirit of grace that is out there for every human being. For we know Him who said, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay, saith the Lord." He said, "The Lord will judge His people." God will do that. Can I tell you again this morning? Listen, it seems like Jamie says I'm preaching to the choirs this morning, but why can I not say this to you? If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Amen. Today, you can come to know Him this morning. And if you trample that underfoot and you go through this life and you do not accept Him, it would have been better for you that you'd never stepped foot in this church today. It would have been better for you that you'd never been born. Listen, brother, that is serious. That is absolutely, how serious do you think it is when Jesus Himself, how serious do you think sin is when Jesus Himself said this? He said, "You've heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks upon a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away." That's how serious Jesus took sin in a person's life. And He said, "It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." That's how serious Jesus thought that sin was in a person's life. That's why He came to make the remedy for it. That's why God sent His only begotten Son. Listen, it'd be better. And you say, "Well, that's awful harsh to say that they should never have been born." Well, Jesus said that if your eyes offend you, He said, pluck it out and throw it and cast it from you if it's going to cause you to get to heaven one of these days. So yes, it would be better not to have been born than to reject and die and go to hell. What is the grace that he gave? You know Judas? I read this scripture here this morning. You know Judas had been exposed to all the gospel he could handle. Am I right? He walked with the Word. He walked with Jesus on a daily basis. He walked with Him. He was with Him. He knew the Word. He knew what it was all about. He heard Jesus' teachings. We read every day Jesus taught His disciples. Every day He taught His disciples. And every day He taught them truth. He taught them that every day they were. Yet Judas died, lost, and bound for hell. And Jesus said it would have been better if Judas had never been born. Because he had heard the truth and he rejected it. Absolutely. And Jesus said this about it would be. So I say to you, yes, those who hear the truth of the gospel, sometimes week after week after week, and they still reject it. That's hard to imagine, is it not? It is for me. It is for me, but I have listened to people. I know, I've heard testimonies of people who have said that they have sat in church for year after year after year and heard the preacher and heard the testimonies and kept going and on and on and said that they never accepted Jesus. They just liked the idea of going to church. Or the mommy and daddy had took them there. Or the grandma and grandpa had took them there. Can I tell you something this morning? And I say this with all the love of my heart. Grandma and grandpa and daddy and mommy can't save you. You have to accept Jesus for yourself. And if you don't, I'll tell you this also, that one day you will stand before a righteous and a just God. And He will either say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Or He will say, come on into the joys that await you. That's, you know, we have loved ones who are in the same place as Judas was in. We have daughters. We have sons. We have fathers and mothers. We have loved ones. We have neighbors. We have friends. Many of them are religious. Religion does not save you. I say that a lot around here because it just rings in my heart time after time. Religion will not save you. There's a lot of religion out there today. Jesus said this about religious folks one time. He said this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like whited sepulchres." He said, "which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisies and iniquities." Man, that's pretty strong, is it not? But you know what? That is the truth today as much as it was back then. Amen. There are those that are full of hypocrisies and iniquities, but yet they stand and they act like they're righteous and that they're just and that they're this and that they're that. It'd be better if they'd never been born if they keep going down that path. Isaiah 56, 10 and 12. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. I'm going to tell you, and this is just me. There are a lot of people standing behind the pulpits today who are just like these watchmen, who will not bark, will not tell the truth, will not preach the gospel, will not love it. Just like that girl said, she went to a church and never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, where you have to be saved. Listen, I know God is good, and I know God wants good for His people, but listen to me. Listen, He wants you to be saved more than anything. The last thing any of us need is more religion. We don't need it. This country doesn't need any more religion. The last thing we need is religion. We need to be saved and we need to be born again and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Many people are like Judas, though. They've had great exposure to the truth. They know much, yet they are so far away from Christ. They know so much. They've heard so much, yet their hearts are so far away from Christ. It is important to understand, every person sitting in the sound of my voice this morning, do you know you are marked for eternity? You know that? You are bound for eternity one of these days, whether you're saved or unsaved. You are bound for eternity. Death is not final. It is not final. And it says either the saved, it's not final for the saved or the unsaved. Listen, I preached funerals of those that I had no idea where they went. And I preached the funerals of those I know exactly where they're at. And you've been to funerals of both ways as well. I'm here to tell you, I'm pretty sure that you have. So death is a great equalizer in this aspect. It really is. It doesn't make no difference whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a Methodist or a Baptist, or what church you go to, or what denomination you belong to, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or an independent, it doesn't make any difference. Whether you're male or female, it doesn't make any difference. Whether you're big or small, whether you're young or old, it doesn't make any difference. It does not matter what ethnicity you are. Whatsoever, death will play no favorites. It plays none. It will never play any favorites. Unless the Lord comes back to get His church, everyone's going to meet death one day. In Ecclesiastic 12, it tells us over in verses 5 and verse 7, it says this, because man goeth to his long home. What's that saying? What's that meaning? Because man goes after death, you go to where you're eternally going to be. That's what it's saying. You could live to be as old as Methuselah. But listen, that's not his long home, right? It's afterwards. And that's the same way with each and every one of us. Then verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Listen, death is universal. Death is a great equalizer. Spiritual blindness will not be an excuse. It will not be an excuse for anybody. None whatsoever. In Mark 8:18, Jesus, talking to his disciples, said this. There's a lot of people like this. Having eyes, see ye not. And having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember. There's lots of people that have eyes to see what Jesus Christ has really done. Have ears to hear and have heard the gospel. Listen, there has been tracks laid out different places that I've went. I have seen them, and probably people, maybe some of you put them there. At one time in your life, you put a track somewhere. And I went into bathrooms, and they're there. I went into other, and all you have to do is read it and pick it up, and it tells you the plan of salvation on it. I've seen those. People have eyes to see that they can read it. They may look at it and just throw it away. And think in their mind, I don't need that. If they die like that, I'm telling you, it would have been better if they had never been born. Folks, every individual born since the fall of Adam, except our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has been born spiritually blind. There's not a one of us that was not born spiritually blind whenever we come out of the womb. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that was by Adam, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, For that all have sinned. Sometimes I wonder if people realize, and sometimes I don't think they do, how lost and depraved and wicked they really are. I say this quite a bit because it is true. You could be the best person in the world. The best person. As a matter of fact, Greg, me and you've probably, we've talked about, there have been people that we know that would put Christians to shame. But they do not know Jesus as their Savior. If they die like that, it would have been better that they had never been born. That's a shame. I know that goes against the world's conventional wisdom. I know that it does. As a nation, we have the same attitude sometimes as Judges 17 and 6. In those days, were there no kings in Israel? But you know what it said? You know the scripture. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's what we are. That's what we get. That's what we're into. Many today consider themselves to be spiritual, but not religious. When I was studying for this dance, I come across something. Do you know one of the top 10 New Year's resolutions is for people in this country this year, what it was? Because they do a tabulation of them. is that people wanted to be more spiritual. That's one of them. They wanted to be more spiritual, but guess what? They didn't want to pray to God to become more spiritual. They wanted to meditate. They wanted to find their inner self, and that will help them become more spiritual. They don't believe that you have to get in contact with God to be spiritual. That's what they believe. They said a quarter of them that put it in, that's what they wanted to be. Their view of spirituality is to deal with themselves and say, oh, it's about the individual man. We can make our own selves better. Can I ask you this question? Has man ever made anything better? I got to thinking about that the other way. Well, you can say, well, about that. They have corrupted everything that they've got their hands on to a certain extent. I can make myself better. I can make myself a spiritual person. Paul was talking to Timothy over in 2 Timothy 3:7. You know, when he's talking about the last days, and verse 7 says this. He said, they're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jeremiah 5:21. Hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding, which have eyes and see not, and have ears and hear not. Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Can I say this? Outside of a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our God and the Holy Spirit, you will never know spirituality. You cannot know true spirituality. 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But get this, this is one of the verses that I mark and I keep for it because it should be to all of us. But God has revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. For the Spirit does what? Listen, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You say to yourself, I want to get to know more of God. Let the Spirit show you. It will reveal the deep things of God to you. It does. It's what it says. You want spirituality? That's how you get it. There is no hope for those that are spiritually blind and refuse to do anything for it. There's no hope for those people. In John chapter 9, remember whenever Jesus healed the blind man? He put a little spittle on the ground. He put it on his eye, telling him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Remember that? He told him, and the man did what Jesus told him to do, and he received his sight. Well, what happens? His neighbors find out about it, and his neighbors take him to the Pharisees because his neighbors couldn't figure this out. So they bring him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are trying to get answers. Well, they weren't wanting the real answers because they were spiritually blind, and they just wanted to trap Jesus. What else did they do? They called his parents in, and they asked them, well, he was blind. He was blind. What? He said, how could he see? And his parents were scared. Remember that? His parents, because they were scared of the Jews. They were scared they would get kicked out of the temple. Let me ask you a question. I just thought about this, about his parents. Why was the man sitting at the gate begging if he had parents still alive? I'm just here. I think this man was failed in a lot of different ways. He was failed. Jesus healed him physically. And over in verse 29, of 9:29, is one of the, and oh, by the way, can I tell you this too? If you ever wonder how you can learn to witness, this man right here, he laid it out perfectly, how you should witness. He said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind and now I see. When I got saved, praise God, my spiritual eyes were open. I was blind spiritually. But when I got saved, He opened my spiritual eyes to know exactly what it is to serve the living and the true God. Praise His name. It's an amazing story. I encourage you to go home and read it this afternoon. Jesus healed physical blindness, and more importantly, He healed spiritual blindness that was in those people. The religious leaders, they couldn't see it. And they asked him, he said, you mean you tell me that we're blind? And he said, yeah. He said, I pray that you were blind. At least you wouldn't be in contempt right now. But he said, you know what? You are, you can see, you know what's going on. So yes, you will face the judgment one day. Better that they had never been born than to do what they did. People have heard the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. We hear it every Christmas. Every Easter, people hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They hear about Jesus walking on the water sometimes. People hear these things. They have seen John 3:16. My goodness, if you go to football games and stuff, they put it on television, it seemed like all the time there for a while. John 3:16, a big poster. And yet they go about their lives without doing anything about it. Because they don't hear with their spiritual ears. Hebrews 2, 1 and 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word of God spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of a salvation? Can I tell you right now, I want to be very pointed, and I want to give you a simple answer. Hebrews 2:3, you won't. If you neglect that kind of a salvation, if you neglect Jesus Christ, you will not escape judgment one day. People neglect the plan of salvation, and I've said that plenty of times. They neglect it, and I say it a lot. They hear it, For whatever reason, they do not let it soak into their. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is this faithful and wise servant who the master has put in charge of the servants of his in his household to give them their food at the proper? It will be good for the servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will be put in charge of his possessions. But that servant is wicked to say to himself, my master is staying away. He's been going too long. He's staying away. And he said, and then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect it, in an hour that he's not aware, and he will cut him to pieces. I'm reading out of the NIV version of this. It said he cut him to pieces, assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are lots of people saying in their minds, I've got plenty of time. There are plenty of people saying that. I've got plenty of time. I know people whenever I was younger, they would say that. Listen, that religious stuff, I got plenty of time to make a decision for that. You don't know how much time you have. There's not a soul in here that knows whenever your number is pulled, whenever it's your time to go out of this world. Not a one of us. I said this in high school. I knew I had two friends. One of them was on the basketball team with me. They was a year older than me. Both of them got killed in a car wreck right there before Christmas in 1974. Both of them got killed in a car. They thought they had the rest of their lives ahead of them. You hear this stuff all the time. You know what? Today is the day of salvation. It would be good for that man. If you want to know for sure because you're not sure, make your salvation sure. Today. Because if you don't, and you go out of this world, something happens, it had been better that you had never been born. 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore, thee rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If ye do these things, it says you shall never fail. You should never fall. John 11:25 tells you and how to make our calling and our election sure. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. A life without Jesus Christ is death. And it's a wasted life. It is a life that I hope nobody in here is a part of. It would have been better if you'd have never been born than to go out of this life without Jesus Christ in your heart. I tell you, I was sad about that. I read that, and God just pressed it upon me. I was sad about it. Because there's a lot of people that have died every day in this world, and they've never known the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They don't know him. or maybe they've heard about him and just rejected it. I'm here to tell you this morning, it would have been better if they'd have never been born. Let's get a song, Belinda. If you have a need this morning, this altar is still open. It's open. Well, let's pray.